And now I have the pleasure of bringing on Colonel Shannon Juby from Beale Air Force Base. How are you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And, you know, we've been thinking about Memorial Day weekend. And with you being a colonel, obviously, you know, Memorial Day means much more to you, I think, than probably a lot of us. It's very close to home for you when you think about the military and your training and what you go through.
Yes, sir. So, you know, I came actually from a family of military. My grandfather was Army Air Corps. My uncle was Navy. My dad was a Vietnam vet. Growing up, that was something I always wanted to do, was be part of the military. And it helped me pay for college and got me going on my way.
Well, okay, so let's talk about your early upbringing with such a patriotic family with people who served. I mean, was there an event or something that happened specifically that when you decided, look, I think this is the way I want to go as well?
You know, there wasn't a specific event. It's just something I felt in my heart and soul, honestly. Mm-hmm. There wasn't one thing that brought it to light. I just knew I needed to be part of the service. I love the idea of the military service.
Yeah. Well, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. I was trying to decide
Go
whether
Browns.
You had an accent or not. Go Browns. Yes. Okay. Well, actually, they're coming to play the San Francisco 49ers this year at home. At the Niners, excuse me. They're playing in San Francisco. So so you're a Browns fan, I take it.
We are, and we saw them play the Raiders this last year.
You did. Did they?
You guys
they
won?
The Raiders won? The Raiders didn't win that many,
I think.
Last year. okay, so let's talk about Memorial Day, because to me, Memorial Day is much more than barbecues and family get-togethers, although that's a part of it. But it's a lot more with having a son that is in the military and knowing some of his friends didn't come back so fortunate. You know, it means so much more. So around here, we lean on the kind of on the patriotic side. What's Memorial Day mean to you?
Yes, sir. I've also got friends that haven't come back or have died in a line of duty, airplane crash, something along those lines. For me, it's a reminder. It's a reminder that there are people willing to raise their right hand and make sure that our kids can grow up and play in the playgrounds without fear of a stray bullet, like the poor girl I met in Iraq that took a bullet in the stomach. She was just passing through the marketplace with her parents. It was a reminder to me as I started raising kids that there are so many people that are responsible for the everyday freedoms, the luxuries that we probably take for granted, that we are blessed to have, and that we don't have to think too much about. That's why we do it, so that people don't have to think too much about it.
Agreed. I think as entrepreneurs, I mean, our audience is heavy with people who are in the business community, and we have free enterprise here in America because people are out there fighting for that freedom. And so I think entrepreneurs kind of in general are some of the people that sort of look at people like yourself, people in the military that fight for our freedom with this extremely high level of respect. I think entrepreneurs go out there and we take risk and we put it all out there on the line thinking that we're something special. And then we look to someone like yourself who actually risks it all, and we have to tip our cap to you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Though you are something special, and it actually takes both of us. It's a team thing that, in my mind, is what makes this country great. But if I think about where my dad came from after Vietnam and the type of community and environment that he came back to, very different these days. In my almost 24 years of service now, I've never felt more appreciated, and everywhere we go, we try to carry that message that our communities really do appreciate us.
Well, you were too young, probably, to remember your dad coming back. Well, what were you, like a baby? Because you're not old enough.
I was a gleam in the eye.
Yeah, because you're, that's what I'm thinking. You weren't there yet. So I remember in the 70s. So I am, actually, this is going to air right after my birthday. Okay, so I'm 56. I will be 56 when this airs. But in the early 70s, I didn't really even realize that there was a Vietnam War going on. I knew about it. But I didn't. It wasn't in my daily, it wasn't on my mind, I guess, on a regular basis. So thinking back to your dad coming home, what kind of stories did he tell about the way that he felt?
You know, he didn't.
He didn't
talk
about it.
For a very long time, he didn't. One time I found a flag in our basement and said, "Hey, Dad, what's this all about?" And a box of some reel-to-reel, reel-to-reel, right?
Like home movies, our movies that he had
music,
from his...
that was what they, you know, the...
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so we talked about his time. I was by then in high school. We talked about his time when he served and when he wore the uniform. It was just a few years right before I was born, but he talked about the camaraderie. What he felt with those other 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
Same today. They're 18, 19, 20-year-olds, only now those are my kids' ages.
Yeah.
So taking care of our sons and daughters and making sure we bring them back safely.
Well, you are running a business, if you will, over at Beale Air Force Base. You have how many people are under your command?
Yes, sir. We have about 1,550, a little over. 1,550,
okay.
A mix of military and civilian.
And what's your role in the organization? What do you do?
Yes, sir. I'm kind of like the mayor of Beale.
The mayor of Beale Air Force Base. Okay.
So, don't get me wrong. I have a boss. He's the installation commander. He's got oversight over the entire installation. I help make sure we maintain the buildings, the infrastructure, the power, the water, make sure that all of the required facilities are there for our mission sets.
My buddy Greg Van Dusen said you were kind of like the chief operations officer. Is that a fair statement?
Well, sir, I oversee a whole lot of experts that make sure that our mission owners have what they need to complete their missions.
So, okay, in that role, you're leading people. You're leading. You're managing managers. You're managing people who are managing a lot of people, a lot of operations, and extremely sensitive type positions. And then I'm assuming it may be in positions that are, we might just like, you're cooks and things like that are underneath you. I'm wondering, how do you switch gears like that from, okay, running the chow hall, if you will, to running something where people are putting their lives on the line?
Like fire or our
yes.
defenders. Yes, sir. In my mind, first of all, I love the people part.
Yes.
That's what I love. Those are the guys that get the mission done, whether it's our young one or two stripers at the gate, making sure that nobody that shouldn't be on the base passes through on their watch. They take that very seriously. We empower young guys. We give them a lot of responsibility. Or they're the guys in the chow halls, making sure our warriors get fed. In my mind, it's all part of readiness. Taking care of people is part of readiness. Taking care of their families is part of readiness. So whether they live on the installation, which we don't have a large permanent presence on the installation, or they're out in the community, partnering with our community to make sure we take care of our families is part of our business.
You bet. You bet. And thinking about those families, some of those families have loved ones that are deployed, I assume.
Yes.
Talk to us about that group of people.
So we deploy folks all the time. Just last year in our group alone, 38% of our military force had deployed at one point. We deploy a lot. It affects the home station mission. It puts a lot of strain on our force. But we do have a lot of programs and support systems in place to take care of the families while our deployed members are overseas.
So we are at war. We have conflicts happening currently. And thinking about people who are deployed, especially to these areas that are hot spots. Are there special things that we do as a community or you do as a community to sort of support the people that are sort of living with that daily fear? The children, the wives, their maybe husbands, people that are at home keeping it together, yet you have people that are getting shot at.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you, the most basic of them all, probably the one that's most overlooked, but I think most important, is thanking them. whether it's the folks at home like my sink house. He runs a tight ship. I could not do what I do without the support of my family. Or it is our deployed warriors heading out the door. Try to get eyeballs on. Look them in the eye and say thank you. I don't take that for granted. This is an all-volunteer force, and the family is part of that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. I have to imagine you mentioned three children, and you didn't just get plopped into this super position at Beale Air Force Base. There was this super mom that had to climb the corporate ladder, if you will, battle in many ways. And yet you got three kids and a husband and, you know, how does that happen?
That's actually one of the questions I get asked most. And I answer, you can have it all, just not all at once.
Okay.
I could not be pregnant and fly airplanes and have children, but at different times and with the support of my husband, who's my very best friend, I've been able to continue to go. And with each assignment, we kind of look at each other and say, still good? Everybody's still hanging on?
Well, walk me through the progression that prepared you for this position. You joined the military. Obviously, you've got the small children. Talk to us about this this progression and how you earned such an important place.
Yes, sir. So I guess I should start at the beginning. I did kind of get plopped into some of the of that. I was a new stepmom. So at 10 years in the Air Force, a single lieutenant, a single captain raging around as a fighter pilot, learning the tricks, I reunited with my high school sweetheart, who at that time had a 5- and 8-year-old. He had custodial care. I've known them since they were born. They're precious, and I love them with all my heart. And we got back together. We got married, and I said, okay, so I guess I'm getting out of the military at 10 years and moving back to Cleveland. He looked at me and said, no way. We're going with you. Where are we going?
Wow.
And so he packed up the truck with two kids, a dog and a cat, moved, and I met him in Utah. That was our first assignment together.
Wow.
So that was my fourth flying assignment when we got back together. I deployed. That was their introduction to the military. I deployed within 5 or 6 months of moving them across country. And they got settled in. And we had Donovan, my youngest, at the end of that assignment. So from that point forward, you know, I look back and think, there are lots of advantages and disadvantages of moving a family around. People can say, wow, wouldn't you like them to grow up near their cousins, near grandparents? Well, of course. But the other part that I think is underestimated is the resiliency that that builds in our military kids. They can move from place to place. They have no problem making friends. They learn how to assess their environment and figure out how to do the best that they can in their environment. And they never complain. They just keep going. And they're amazing people. So my oldest is in his first out-of-college job. He's teaching high school history, which is amazing, making a difference, influencing young kids. Our middle is in her second year in college, trying to be a nurse, trying to give back. And then the baby is 11, tearing it up. But I think about dragging, in my mind, it was dragging them around for the last 12, 14 years now. And it has made me realize, actually, the resiliency in those young people now. And it makes me so proud to see that. So it's a great story. I hope that they would say the same. If you're watching or listening, no, I know that they're grateful for the opportunities.
Well, I'm thinking about your husband for a second here. So you married
He's a rock star. He's the one who should be sitting here with
you. You married your high school sweetheart. So this is kind of interesting to me because I'm picturing, so you're a high school sweetheart, high school sweethearts, and then you go into the military and you come out a badass, right? Or not come out, you, several years later,
you can't see that on the radio.
We have an editor, luckily. So you come out, I'm assuming much different. You're an attractive woman. In high school, I can just picture you being high school sweethearts with the captain of the football team is what I have in my vision. And then you come out in the military. Right now you're wearing your fatigues, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, how much different were you when you, like, from when you were in high school?
You're making me squirm in my seat.
Were you, like, a cheerleader, or what were you?
I was not a cheerleader.
Okay.
So I was a freshman when I first laid eyes on those green eyes and dimples. He was the older brother of my best friend.
Ah.
He was the high school quarterback.
How did I guess that?
Still mullet at the time. Mullet.
Wow.
And, you know, we did grow up. We were together a bit in high school. We did go our separate ways. And we came back together with a much different outlook on life. We grew up. It needed to happen. Mm-hmm. It's still happening for me, by the way.
Me too.
And, no, I wasn't that different of a person. I was the same person that he encouraged to do the very best when we were in high school. He was running with me and pushing me to run faster when we were in high school. And we played sports together, and we were always great friends. So we had a chance to kind of grow up and do our thing. And when we found our way back together, it was just what was meant to be. That's the rock star that should be sitting here talking to you.
Well, that's incredible. Well, I mean, I have to...
He is good looking, by the way.
I can imagine. He's a rock star.
That's the picture we should have.
But he's obviously had to be quite a father with you having this occupation.
He absolutely is quite a man. If he were any less of a man, be it friend, husband, father, I wouldn't be here sitting talking to you about all of this. It wouldn't be possible. We couldn't continue to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's the teamwork. It's what he brings to our team. And he does take care of the family. He is the one that researches the schools and makes sure we know where we should look for houses based on the schools. He always carries his job with us wherever we go, and I can't say enough about that partnership.
Well, you bring this very humanizing approach to a conversation. When we see you in your uniform, and I envision you flying an F-16 in combat, and thinking about sort of switching gears, I have to imagine that struggle for anybody who is in the military to have to switch gears and sort of come back and get reintegrated into normal life, as we call it. Here we are on a radio show and a podcast, and it's like, but you have this other life.
Yes, sir. Actually, that's an interesting aspect to talk about. Marcus knows we're trained. My brain knows checklist. I think about things in a checklist kind of way. I know when I need to speak and think very fast because I got used to doing that in an F-16 in different environments. It's part of our training. So is compartmentalization. So is putting things away when you need to put them away, focusing on where you need to focus at that time. Reintegration in my deploying years, coming back to the family, sure. My heart was still where our guys were on the ground. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back and do more, if you could fathom that. That's the heart of a warrior. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to go back and give more, but your family needs you too. So then you start to reprioritize and come back to the environment that you're in and figure out where you need to be spending your time and energy.
You know, picturing a woman flying an F-16 seems, I mean, that's, I can for sure visualize
short
that.
Lens in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. But I have to, are there certain roles that are just not conducive to having a woman on the job? I mean, that's too politically sensitive of a question, but I sometimes wonder about that. Just what's the right answer?
Sure. I don't look at it as a male or female thing. I look at it as a person thing. Mm-hmm. So I made a joke about being short lines in the bathroom. I was, I think, the third or fourth. My friend and I were going through F-16 training together. There weren't many of us. And it was a big deal, not because we thought it was. In fact, we tried to treat it like it wasn't a big deal. But I had somebody, it was my PA officer at my first operational assignment, great friend of mine to this day, pull me aside, and I had been turning down. I was the first F-16, the female at Cannon flying F-16s, and I had been turning down. I did not want to talk to media. I didn't want to do any PA engagements. I wanted to learn my business, blend in with my brothers, and do what we were trained to do. She pulled me aside after about a year of being at Cannon and said, "Hey, it doesn't have to be about you. just get out and go talk to the classes. Let the little girls see you in uniform. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to talk about being a female fighter pilot, because I didn't care about that. She said, just get out there. Let them see what's possible. And I've recognized that ability to influence people. I don't make it about being a male or female. I make it about being the best damn version of yourself and doing the best wherever you are, because I think that that's what we should do.
Amen. Amen. And thinking about, okay, so thinking about...
Oh, I swore. Sorry.
She's so polite. So just thinking about people who are transitioning out of the military, one of the things that we're doing with Allegiant in our battle for veterans, helping them to reintegrate into a society after life after the military. Thoughts about that? I mean, what do employers need to know about people who have been in the Air Force or been in the service that that would help them to better understand how valuable of a resource that is and get them putting into the position where we can maximize that resource?
Sure, sure. I think sometimes it's hard to capture on resumes really what military members learn. Some of it's informal training. Some of it's just by being empowered by the right leader or inspired or motivated by the right person around them, be it peer or even somebody who works for them. It's hard to capture that on a piece of paper. So there's a certain mindset. You give everything until you get the job done. A devotion, a commitment that I think is hard to capture on paper. So I wouldn't underestimate that about our military folks, whether they served 4 years or 24 years. They have that mindset, that kind of special something inside them.
Yeah. Well, one of the things you mentioned before we went on the air, you talked about wanting to get a message out to our community. We're here in Northern California. Beale Air Force Base is a major employer. It's on the outskirts of Sacramento. But what should the community know about the happenings at Beale, and maybe what should the community be thinking as we kind of close out? What should the community be thinking on a Memorial Day weekend?
Yes, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to say thank you. I was here since last July and realized very quickly, you know, I've moved around a lot. I've seen where communities are very tight with their base and where you're in a big city and you don't feel that same connection to your community. Immediately here, there's a tight-knit partnership between our community, and we're very grateful for that, from the boss on down. I would want our community to know not only are we grateful for their support, but we've got some extraordinary young folks that raise their right hand and commit to defending them and protecting them, the thems that they don't know. Protecting their kids running around in their yard, protecting whatever choices they want to make just because it's the right thing to do. So I appreciate their gratitude towards our youngest guys that are coming in all the time. We don't have a draft. We don't need it. We've got plenty of folks volunteering, and we're just very grateful for that.
Well, we are grateful for you, Colonel Shannon Juby. You are an inspiration, and on this Memorial Day weekend, I want to thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.